Modern electric vehicles, or EVs for short, appear to have overcome many of the obstacles that had prevented them from being mainstream choices. While comparable to gas-powered cars in safety and comfort, EVs have the added advantage of zero tailpipe emissions. And, thanks to our sunny climate, Southern Arizona homeowners can also power their EVs with self-generated electricity from solar panels on their home rooftops. So why aren't the cars universally embraced? Some potential buyers are concerned over the limited range that's provided by the currently existing battery technology. There also seems to be disagreements among auto manufacturers as to which plug design will be used as the new quick charging standard. Recently, Ben Need traveled to Biosphere 2 to bring back this closer look.
It's Earth Day weekend, and I'm doing something the founders of that event could only have dreamed of some 42 years ago. I'm riding in a car that produces no tailpipe emissions and is capable of traveling at highway speeds safely and in complete comfort. It's a modern electric car, an EV, the Nissan Leaf.
The nice thing about owning the Leaf is realizing that probably 99% of our driving is commuting, and the Leaf is very, very good for that.
That's Lance Collier, a retired aerospace electrical engineer, leading a caravan of three Leafs, traveling north on Highway 77 on our way to Biosphere 2.
With the Leaf, we have 10 kilowatts of solar on top of our roof, so we have enough power to completely energize our house and the car. So we don't pay for electricity at all. Our last bill was, I think, $17.
Lance is obviously a true believer, and with those solar panels on his house, he's able to drive virtually for free and with almost no environmental penalty. But there's one thing that the Leaf, and just about any other EV today, doesn't do particularly well, just yet at least, and that's travel for extended periods between charges. We're on our way to Biosphere 2 to check out a new and special kind of charger, something called a Level 3, which may help change Lance's Leaf from a great round-town car to a truly capable freeway vehicle. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. First, we need to know what Level 1 and Level 2 charging is all about. Sean Hegna, who works for Eaton Corporation, a manufacturer of EV charging equipment, clues us in.
A Level 1 is going to be a 120 volt. That's going to be your standard outlet that you have at home that you plug into. So that's going to charge a car in anywhere from typically 10 to 12 hours.
But 10 to 12 hours is a lot of downtime. Still, Level 1 charging has its uses, even if it's a somewhat glacial option.
And then we have a Level 2, which is 240 volts, and that can charge a car much faster in 3 to 5 hours.
Certainly faster than Level 1, and this is how almost all electric car charging is done these days. All new factory-built EVs are sold along with Level 2 equipment, dealer-installed in the owner's garage or carport. The special Level 2 connector that transfers the current and computer data is called a J1772 plug. You'll also find these at approximately 50 public charging terminals in the Tucson metro area. And that brings us to Level 3.
And then you have your DC quick charger, which is commonly referred to as Level 3. And that's where you have a three-phase system. So that's either 208-volt three-phase or 480 three-phase. And you can see that anywhere from a 20-kilowatt system up to a 50-kilowatt system as far as what we can manufacture.
A Level 3 charge will replenish the batteries in a Leaf in about 20 minutes. The industrial-scale electrical requirements guarantee that this is the sort of thing you won't be finding in carports or garages anytime soon. They'll be located along major highways. But Level 3 is a game-changer, turning today's primarily city-bound EVs into regional ones. Trouble is, Level 3 has been rolling out very slowly across the U.S., and especially so in southern Arizona. Part of the deployment problem is that, unlike with Level 2, where the J1772 connector reigns supreme, there is no agreed-upon standard for a Level 3 plug.
Well, there's several different standards, just like any other electric system. You know, we've also had cell phones that have different plugs, and railroads used to have different gauges. At this point in the development of electric cars, that's what's prevailing.
That's Bruce Brimacombe, CEO of GoE3, an Arizona-based company inaugurating their first EV charger at Biosphere 2 today.
What we decided to do was support all the different ones, one of them being the J1772 Level 2 charging system. That's an American standard for the slow charge, the 2 to 3 to 6 hour, and then the CHAdeMO standard, which is the Japanese DC fast charge, which is 15 to 45 minutes, and then the American standard, which is an expanded version of the J1772, which will be 15 to 45 minutes as well.
The Japanese CHAdeMO Level 3 plug Bruce mentions it's what's on Lance's Leaf and about 10,000 others just like it here in the U.S. The expanded Level 3 J772 fast charge? Well, that's not quite here yet. but it's what just about every other OEM, European and domestic, has agreed to use for Level 3. And that means those cars will have a different Level 3 plug on them than the tens of thousands of Japanese-built EVs already on the road by then. And not to be outdone, the upscale Silicon Valley EV manufacturer Tesla Motors has insisted on using an entirely different plug of their own design. Level 3 plug-in compatibility is reminiscent of the old VHS versus Betamax war. But GoE3 thinks they've got a workaround with an open architecture charger design.
Now, the open architecture point is very important. We are set up to be modular in design, so we don't have to replace our units. We just open the door, put another drawer in, just like a blade server computer. We just pop one in and pop one out. So that our units are UL approved by module instead of by the whole unit as a whole. So it's a very advantageous thing. As new standards and things come in, we can just continually change the stations. So we're ahead of the curve, and we even support the plug for the Tesla Roadster, which was the first one out. So no confusion. You can stop at our station and charge.
Also from GoE3, Chief Operating Officer James Dowdy explains his company's relationship with Biosphere 2.
It's probably the premier research facility in the world for the sort of thing that we're doing. For example, one of the projects we're working on with them will be an off-the-grid solar-powered charging station. I believe we'll be the first person pursuing that on the Level 3 480-volt three-phase motors. And we hope to have that installed here within the year.
Biosphere 2's sustainability coordinator, Nate Allen.
One of the research programs that the University of Arizona has initiated here at Biosphere 2 is called the Model City Research Program, a grid laboratory, okay, where you would look at solar panels like a microscope. And the electric vehicle charger is another tool. And so we've worked hard to be able to conduct large-scale research where you could actually cause a power outage if you make a mistake, and that's okay because we don't have a factory or a hospital that's being supplied by our energy.
Getting back to the commercial deployment of these Level 3 chargers, when, where, and how many is the question I had for Max Patterson, GoE3's Director of Research.
In 18 to 36 months, we plan to have 500 nationwide, and we definitely want to make sure that everyone has the ability to take their car that they've paid good money for and travel.
James Dowdy.
We want people to get rid of their range anxiety and know that they can have an electric car and still go on vacation and still go see grandma and still go to the Grand Canyon and do all those fun things that too many people think they're restricted by with an electric vehicle right now.
Riding back to Tucson in an EV on one of the soon-to-be electrified highways of southern Arizona, I'm Ben Need for Arizona Spotlight.